Can you feel it, my friends? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A shifting. I felt a great shifting in the force.
This is Michael Basham here for a Frontline Spirit Wars report. Didn't make it into studio today, but that ain't gonna stop me. We're gonna fellowship, whether you like it or not.
I feel a great stretching. Much has taken place. Sometimes you don't really know what's going on. You're just like a blind bat. Just you sense things with your sonar.
But I got my antennas out, and I'm listening to actually a lot of old things. I'm listening to what God has told his prophets in days of old. Excuse me while I loosen my chemical warfare suit. Oh, wow, what a day. I mean, it was a great day, family day.
I think that people are coming together a little bit more recently than usual, just being with family, spending time with their folks, even if it's just one other person or a small little family gathering. I am a dad, and that entails pretty much no breaks. I mean, to me, this is a break, like getting to talk to you guys, to you, individual. You aren't a you guys. Some of my deepest, closest friends will tune in and report back about what you did wrong. Well, Mackle, you forgot to talk about how the weight of a human soul is roughly about 15 or 50 Hiroshima bombs, not the entire sun. Well, that's still quite a lot of force. What is 8 or 9 billion Hiroshima bombs? That might be equivalent to the sun. In fact, perhaps there's some weight to that. Don't know. Pun intended. You know how, like, when a soul is conceived, there's a flash of light, and they can actually measure when somebody dies, the weight changes just a little bit. But that little bit is enough to ignite that many bombs, because, like, energy has to be... It cannot be decimated. It has to be transferred, so... Where does that energy go, and what is the equivalent of that energy as far as the nuclear reaction that takes place in an atomic bomb is equivalent to a great deal of many Hiroshima bombs. But multiply that by the population of the planet, you might got something like the equivalent weight of the sun. I don't know. I mean, that's a big math question. Because our sun is like a continuous explosion, emitting incredible amounts of heat that lights and empowers not just our solar system, but God knows what else into the far reaches of the galaxy. You can tell I'm a little spacey because I've been listening to Dr. Jerry Lee, the Manifestor Yada. I am busy, busy, busy downloading and reposting his sermons.
Ew, a skunk! Ew!
Just saw a skunk driving through the Smoky Mountains. Wonder what he's doing up this late. I mean, what the heck, man? It's like 1:30. Go to bed, skunk. Gosh, like, you got to skunk around, man. So, although my flesh is weak, my spirit is willing, and may this little talk that we're going to have be anointed by God, and may we be full of the Spirit, and may we explore the deep things of God. I have a lot to report, a lot to share, a lot to say, but tonight it's more about like that sensation of energy transference, that feeling of there's something different, there's something going on here. People are sending me things about hidden technology, banned, suppressed technology, like how to power your vehicle with salt water, those kind of things. The things that get you killed. Not just banned, but killed. Like, can't let that guy get out. Back in the early 2010s, everything was about zero-point energy. I should correct that. More like the early 2000s, like the beginning of the internet. The internet was actually used originally to share scientific data. You didn't have social media, all the dummies getting on their little TikToks. Like, believe me, I've reached out to these people. Hey, you need help starting a podcast? Oh, duh, no, I don't know. You should get a TikTok. Okay, well, your TikTok's getting banned, so sorry, can't help you. Actually, I am trying. Forces of TikTok podcast. Got quite a few TikTokers on podcasting format, so you can listen to at least 5 or 6 or 7 episodes over an hour long. I think the last one was like 3 hours. Then I'm like, okay, I need a break. 3 hours of TikTok videos, man. It's a lot of TikToks. You're going to get kind of twitchy and TikTok-y and all these names for social media, like fierce boogers. I mean, Facebook. I mean, Facebook. Instant germs. I mean, Instagram. Google, gargle, gobble, grabble with all their weird colors. Have you noticed how all these different platforms, they have artwork that makes the human body look totally disgusting? Like, AI doesn't understand beauty. Maybe never will, unless it's inhabited by an intelligence. But anyway, I just wanted to get on here and just to fellowship and share some of this bigger picture stuff, because they're trying to tear us down. They're trying to shut us down. And so stay tuned if you have patience to put up with yours truly as I pursue these topics as windy as the windy roads which I am driving down. Hallelujah. Just a moment. I said... Oh, here we go. Alone, do 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 boo boo, bum be goo bum bum, bing a burn here, arnica buck a doo, lone a bow. Man, I should really do voiceovers like musical karaoke, but I just don't have the time. I got too many projects going on, baby. Hallelujah. Well, you know what's really interesting and vivid is the spiritual warfare, and I know that's the name of the show. But actually, we don't talk about it directly enough. I might discuss an Elon this, or a Michael Savage said that, or an Alex Jones did this, and it's just the, you know, ooh, ah, but then there's the running and the screaming, and There is certainly a lot to talk about, but everybody else is covering that. However, let me say this. Your take on certain subjects is valid and important. Very much so. In fact, I would recommend everybody share their thoughts on whatever, because you are important. Your voice, your opinion matters on all of these subjects. Don't just copy somebody else's subject. Meditate. You are a shining star. God has a unique light that you have, which has his imprint of his creative essence on it. But when you reflect on something, and I mean like directly as a star reflects on a mirror, you are a star man or a star woman. Your opinion is very important because it is absolutely unique. It is important to the rest of the constellation of star people. I'm a star person too, and I hope you know that you are as well. And your take on stuff is important. Okay? You know what? Hallelujah. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And if our bodies are this amazing, the ability of the human body to heal itself, even after taking the death shot, there are perhaps misadministered death shots that didn't have the death included in the shot and whatever. But then there's also the fact that the body is incredibly capable of healing itself. So you'll notice a lot of the people that died from the jirb, they were, a lot of them, pretty morbidly obese, but also it affected athletes quite heavily. It's just horrible. The whole thing is a mess and nightmare. But we fail to talk about the God factor and even the spiritual nature of the shot itself being vulnerable to prayer, to faith. Are you a man of faith or a woman of faith? Well, you might want to try using the faith factor, My grandfather, Don Basham, wrote a book called Face Up with a Miracle, and it was all about the good Lord's faith factor supply for just living by faith. I mean, gosh darn it, it's like a real thing. It should make us ashamed not to talk more about faith. Man, I can't believe how warm it is tonight. It's like, should be a lot colder. I was doing some pressure washing. Might as well be faith washing on the roof today. Overlooking my daughter who was tending to the chickens. She got a little emotional when I yelled at her not to stuff the baby chick into a little container, like less than its size. It's like, but daddy, it kind of fits in here. If I just stuff it in there, I'm like, do not do that. So she got emotional and she ran inside and I had to go in there and be like, look, I love you. Daddy loves you. How about a cookie? I don't know if that was the best parenting decision, but how about this for parenting? Like, spend time with your kids. So I spent the entire day with her and it was so sweet. And then when I went out to work in my late time job, she's like coming to check on me and just has all these little glorious, wonderful things to share. I mean, we played with the crawdads. We played with the chickens. We pet the sheep. We fed the fish. We fed the ducks. We took a hike through the mountain. We did all of this afternoon, and I was exhausted. I did not sleep well last night. What the heck did we talk about on last time's podcast? I don't know. I just uploaded that, so you might be getting this a day late. This is being recorded on Sunday, November 27th. In addition, if you're a Fringe Radio Network listener, you'll notice that some of the shows we do are in studio. Most of them are done in the car, unfortunately. It's just the way things are at this moment. So I call these front lines reports because it's just off the cuff. I don't have a computer screen in front of me with a lot of news articles and the Bible. But I'm pretty good at quoting the Bible, so I think we still insert enough of the Bible in these talks, and then I'll get into like waxing eloquent about nostalgic times of missionary days past and future and present. So sometimes there's something relaxing about driving and talking on the phone. Just don't let the police see you do it. Anyway, thank you, Lord. Check out Dr. Jerry Lee's The Manifestor podcast. I've been uploading that. We're up to part 5, I think. Brilliant talks, like really out there. I come from a foundational faith from generations past. Like, that's my background. But I'm not going to stay there. I'm going to keep coming back to that foundation and Derek Prince, and, you know, my uncle runs Derek Prince Ministries. I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you so you know when you listen to me and you're like, why does this guy know all this stuff? Well, I'm born into it. So I do not say that to put myself on a pedestal. It's just like Alex Jones comes from the Mayflower. I mean, his family are like patriots all the way. I come from a rebel band of Christians that dared to step outside the church matrix of their day. And so even though I get into out there stuff like the Mo letters or Jerry Lee or name your crazy prophet, I even test out new ones constantly. I'm looking for people that have like crazy stories about James Casbolt, Michael Prince, the Super Soldier Program. What the heck happened? We got another guy locked and loaded on the Strange O'Clock podcast and Fringe Radio Network named Stefan or X. I mean, anyway, there's these crazy stories about gray aliens and the end times. I love these people. I know that a lot of them are a little bit unstable, but that's because, like, I mean, how would Ezekiel do or Isaiah or Jeremiah do with, like, finances? When they're getting these visions of the end of the world and beyond the millennium, and then it's like, okay, got to go back to your, you know, I mean, we're kind of crazy. People that get, and yes, I get prophecies too. I'm not a super good, holy, holy Christian, but God gives you stuff and you need to consider what you are getting, the sieve of your perception and your perspective being invaluable. Like, nobody can measure the value. If your soul is that valuable, if your body is made that incredibly, think about the soul and the spirit and what you got in that realm. So to tie up some loose ends here, I have been noticing patterns in my life, not in my weaknesses necessarily, that too. The Satan's always trying to remind you of those all the time. You did that wrong. You did this wrong. And not to mention that. And especially that. And that's why I don't want to become like that and start saying, like, you know what? You call me a crazy conspiracy theorist, but I told you, and I told you, and oh my gosh, did I tell you? I especially told you. My gosh, you guys were wrong about me. Oh, and not to mention you. I don't think God appreciates that very much, because he's the God of mercy and love and understanding and patience and kindness and forgiveness. I never say that to people, except in jest. Like, yeah, you know, you were wrong, and so were you, and so were you. It's a joke. I don't want to be right about this stuff. I would be very pleasantly surprised that I was wrong, and then just like, God was right. God had a plan. Sorry, I'm getting the mail. This is literally how real this show is, man. Dude, talk about front lines, like, Michael Basham getting the mail with dogs barking behind him. But if only you could feel the mist coming from the skies on this warm late November evening. If only you could hear the streams flowing with their gentle streamaging. Oh yeah. Well, hallelujah. We are on the road. God is on the throne. Prayer changes things. Quantumly, we need to be speaking these words out loud in love. Where the heck were we going? Okay, so Satan is there to condemn you, and then you never break free of the garbage gravity of the earth and the sinful nature of the mind of the carnal flesh thinking. You're always kind of tied in, like strangled in to condemnation, and then you get really hard on yourself, like, I never eat a calorie, never, ever. I just eat protein, always. But then when you're at a restaurant with your friends, you're like, ooh, look at all those french fries you're eating, huh? That's stupid. You should eat, like, only steak like me. I'm a keto guy.
Because I follow Jordan Peterson, and I really love his take on everything. I feel like when I'm listening to Jordan Peterson, my voice begins to become so much more like Jordan Peterson, and it's like I have these revelations about things that are so deep I cannot fathom how deep, and I cannot find the perfect words to eloquently enunciate exactly what I am talking about. Yes.
Well, anyway, God bless Jordan Peterson. He's done a great job. But like C.S. Lewis, I find some of his thinking to be somewhat lacking. Because he's just a guy, and people worship people like that because they're so smart and they're so creative. You know, creativity is a great thing. You should not worship someone just based on their creativity.
Well, I never heard that before.
Well, that's great. But you don't want to get stuck in somebody else's revelation. And that is even for that person. Like, you get stuck in their revelation, you don't go forward, you don't get your own stuff, then that person is responsible for you. So my point is that we need to get beyond condemnation, get beyond the thoughts of this world, and venerating people who seem to know more than we do in a certain area. Get beyond all that and realize that God has stuff for you, just you. He wants to give you something that nobody else, and because you are a unique imprint of his being, you will get stuff that nobody else ever had, and that's because you are an offspring of God the Father. You are one of his children, and he gives you a tremendous amount of freedom. He's not there with a big spanking spoon. No. My daughter used to say that when she was younger. She's like, no. Like, I caught you again. You're going to jail, little buster. And we need to offer that same freedom to others. If we ourselves are set free from the legalism and the criticism and the unforgiveness, really is what it comes down to, condemnation, bitterness, whatever. If we would just receive the flame of God to burn through us through and through, then we would be more lenient and more merciful on others. I've been having a lot of conversations with grace, the spirit of grace, and sometimes they just sound like this: grace, help! And it's like, stat! And that's all you get. And then your day works out great. Because we need more grace. Read Galatians. Don't watch another documentary about people dying from the vaccine right now. You need to read Galatians all the way through. The grace of God is so great. Even with the terrible, terrible data coming out, and whatever the enemy's planning ahead next, I mean, the China footage is devastating. I know. I mean, I used to live in China. I know how China operates. It's scary. It's like government controlling everything. And now, 15 years later, it's definitely worse. Has it really been 15 years? Yeah, it's been about 15 years. I was just a young and whippersnapper. I'm actually in the process of editing some of the prayers and prophecies and visions and glimpses into China life and posting them as per the Spirit Force white papers. And I'm also going to try to reach out to people that are posting incredible insights on Facebookers and letting that go down the drain.
Oh, well, 90 people liked it, so it must have been, like, it's kind of like publishing a book, right? Facebook. So, it's like, people need to read my book.
No, it's going to disappear within a few weeks. Nobody's going to ever find it again. Go back, like, a year or two ago and see if anybody has seen anything you put there. No, they're not going to find it. Because it takes forever for me to even scroll back in my own postings. And then a lot of them got deleted because, whatever, hate speech. We've got to start using websites again. And I can't save everybody, but if I can save just one or two people, I'll feel better. And I'm trying to get into your postings and your TikTokings, and I'm trying to grab stuff. And next up, it's Spirit Force white papers, because I want to grab Ruthie Andrews, Matt Evans, these guys that they're so brilliant, and yet their writings are being flushed down the toilet of, well, this is the latest thing. And so I treasure the insights, and so does wisdom. I've spoken to wisdom before, the being called wisdom, and wisdom delights even over the silliest things that we do. It's like it's some kind of celestial matriarch that keeps every single drawing that their children made, or whatever the sons of men made, because the creations of God, even sometimes the imperfect ones, are precious in the sight of wisdom and God himself. But wisdom is one of the archivists. There's many archivists.
the keeper of Heaven's Archives. I mean, there is some wild stuff out there. We don't have time to get into it. But I'm a meat eater. You know, I'm a Christian, not a Christian eater. I'm a Christian that has tasted of the heavenly fruits. And I know that it's out there, and I can't sit here in my car and explain it all to you, or write enough words to explain it to you, or share enough cool things. But what I can do is tell you that there is a door. And if, like, I saw a meme that said, what am I going to do? All the conspiracies that I ever believed in, they're all coming true now. I don't got no more conspiracy. I don't have nothing to make me sound weird anymore. And I replied back on Twitter, the door to the spirit wars is always open. You want to sound really weird and out there? Come join us. Spirit Wars. 9 to 5 Spirit Wars, or 24/7, whatever you want. But just even a little bit of your life, proceed through the interdimensional crazy door of the spirit and see what God will do for you. I'm telling you, he's God is real, man. Totally, totally real. Hallelujah. All right, I'll be right back. Just a moment.
Don't give the enemy any place in your heart or on your face. Don't give the enemy any place in your heart or on your face. Let's try that one more time. Don't give the enemy any place. No, no, no. In your heart or on your face. Don't give the enemy any place in your heart or on your face. So if the enemy tempts you to fret, it's 'cause you are not trusting yet. You can avoid the enemy's maze with the power of positive praise.
All right!
Don't give the enemy any place in your heart or on your face. Don't give the enemy any place in your heart. Blessings one by one. You'll be surprised what the Lord has done. Hang in there, don't pick up and run. Serving Jesus can be lots of fun.
Alright!
Don't give the enemy any place in your heart or on your face. Don't give the enemy any place in your heart.
Oh yeah, this is my favorite part.
So with the other side of the fence, may seem greener at a first glance. Forget the bucket off Mud's vest, and thank the Lord for all the rest.
Ow!
Don't give the enemy any place. No, 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 in your heart. On your face.
Oh, hallelujah. Nothing like a car with gentle rain outside. Families all sleeping. The sense of comfort. God's grace. God's wisdom. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give him liberally and not hold back. But don't ask in doubt. Because if you doubt, you're like the wave in the sea, tossed and turned. When God shows you a revelation, you've got to believe it, even if you don't understand it. Otherwise, if any man draw back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. I've got this spaceship called the Revolution for Jesus, and it is chock full of stuff. We're cleaning it out. Everything that is not of God, every false Christ, every false identity, every religious spirit is being purged. But that baby, man, that juggernaut, it's just, there's so many weapons and crowns and shields and swords and guns and keys to spaceships and you name it. I mean, it's on there. And if you will be a revolutionary for Jesus, don't be surprised if God brings you across some pretty out there things. You might find it in your own neighborhood, in your own job. People might share some out there things. And you're not thinking, oh, I'm in a prime witnessing opportunity. You're just thinking, oh, I'm clocking in, I'm clocking out. I'm working for the big man. You know, gotta hustle, gotta push, push, push. I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of thinking about the order of structure of the physical world and domain, even though I do work hard to present with you guys as much material as possible. I'm not just doing this for money. I mean, I get like almost no money via advertising or anything. Like, I mean, our donations are far superseding any kind of ad revenue. The numbers minuscule. But I believe that people will find out about the Foundation Stones classes. I think we have like 25 episodes up now. And it's good stuff. Like, I listen to it and I get fed. And Liz Walker, Ern Baxter, Don Basham, new episodes up as of tonight. New Jerry Lee, the Manifester. New Forces of TikTok. Lauren Pritchard has some really encouraging words. I can't really keep up with her, but that material is available via the podcasting kind of amazing realm that we have engaged in. But I mean, besides all that, it's like, what are we doing in the spirit? What are we actually accomplishing outside of our normal domain? That's where I want to be. I want to go and turn the Super Nintendo on and close the door, lock the door, and sit back and relax and play through Final Fantasy III or Earthbound. And, you know, when you're 14 years old and you have kind of an artistic family, homeschooling family, nobody cares what you do all day, and you just engage with whatever suits your fancy. I was up there on the, and I speak to that into not video games and worship of video games, but actually the adventure of the spirit, stepping through the portal, the spirit wars, the spirit force, the revolution for Jesus, whatever that looks like to you. I kind of envision the revolution for Jesus as one of my favorite video games, Final Fantasy Part 8, I think it was. You can never play through all those. They all take forever. They're designed to trap a soul in the metaverse. So you shouldn't be playing those all the time. They're not meant for people that are healthy and who have social lives. But back in my high school years, I never really beat it, but the artwork and the concepts were just brilliant. I still refer to them a lot, and sometimes I'll play the music. Final Fantasy VIII had these giant floating mini city-sized spaceships. And then they would go head-to-head in battle, and it was just phenomenal. To this day, I haven't seen anybody achieve that level of imagination and coolness. Because back in 98, like, that kind of graphics and those kind of ideas were so far beyond the normal. But to have a Galbadia garden, they were called gardens, which is also pretty cool. Galbadia garden. Balam Garden. And I see this Revolution for Jesus like one of these gardens. And you walk through it, and it's impossibly huge. And what it is, it's a school for spiritual soldiers called Seed. And they learn how to tap into the other dimensions to basically involve impossibly powerful beings in their warfare, because everything in this game is about warfare and growing your experience points and whatever. But the coolest thing ever was just exploring these huge gardens, which are flying cities, basically. And they're designed for the chosen few spiritual soldiers called Seed. And there's squabblings and there's battles. And it's just, it's like way too far. It's like a Netflix series plus an Amazon episode minus a Disney Plus divided by a movie-free, you know, all these streaming services. They always provide these, like, insane series that, except you're watching them, and then there's all this LGBTQ, CDC nonsense, and you've got to, like, play bingo with your family when you watch one of these episodes, like, all right, bingo, let's see what we got here. Okay. The super hyper control freak black lady with like leather boots and kind of butch and kind of like overweight, but she's like the star. Okay, check. Let's see. Two guys married kissing, check. Okay, a kid in a gay family, check. All right, let's see here. You know, you go through all the lists. There's like, you could definitely fill a bingo card and mix them up and just play bingo. And then the story is a lot of, oh, transgender, you know, okay, check. White people are evil, really, really evil white guy in charge of it, check. Okay, bingo, I got it. Oh, crap, I didn't, man, I was so close, dang it. You know, every streaming show, I mean, I'm not against gay people or whatever, you know. I think they're reaching for something outside of themselves, and they're trapped in the black hole of sin and unnatural life. I mean, gosh, like, even if you are struggling with those tendencies, like, get a family. I mean, procreate, have normal birth. Oh, a man giving birth. Oh, bingo, check, I got that. You know, and I'm really liberal in the sense that I love, I have kind of a thing for like female preachers. Okay. That gets me in trouble with the Baptists. I love Liz Walker, June Farrell. There are certain people that are anointed by God that have a very special love for Jesus because they are women and they might as well have been nuns back in the day, but they are not. And they just, I mean, Liz Walker just gets me going. I don't know what it is about her. I could listen to Derek Prince, Don Basham, Ern Baxter all day. And Ian Clayton and Justin Abraham, even David Berg. A lot of his stuff was just amazing. You know, I used to drive around with his great-granddaughter, and I could see the strength in her mind, in her conscious, in her DNA. Like, you are David Berg's great-granddaughter. And, you know, you're staying over at my house and hanging out with my daughter, Kaya, and just, wow, like the power. But when David Berg died and he passed the throne and the crown and the scepter to Maria Karen Zerbe, who in her later years, and she's like practically, if not completely blind, the whole revolution for Jesus that she was in charge of got hijacked by, literally, I'm not kidding, people in the Obama administration. So, I mean, if that doesn't spell CIA, CIALGBTQPCDCDM, DARPA, Illuminati, Masons. I mean, we got to like kind of make fun of these people because it's so evil, but they took down my spiritual family via a kind of a CIA operation. But Karen Zerbe, her name in the family was Maria Fontaine, or just Mama Maria. Mama Maria! I always thought that was so funny. She, according to legend, according to kind of gossip, when they were shutting down the family and telling her, like, no, you're not a prophetess. No, you know, all these things that you said, it doesn't count. It's not the word of God. No, no, no. We're going to just basically neuter
this group, and you will become like a little mini Joel Osteen kind of thing. The revolution is dead, in their words. And I'm still here. I'm like the last prototype disciple from the early 2000s. And I gave everything into this to be a revolutionary disciple. And can you hear the pitter-patter of the rain? It's beautiful. The revolution for Jesus has been revamped. The cryostasis, spirit, soul, body of the matriarch Maria has been preserved, but she isn't in control anymore. And I am like scratching to every inch of my spirit to find leadership for this magnificent battleship of the revolution for Jesus, because it is the key to be almost on the edge of homelessness, but you're living by faith. You're just kind of barely scraping by, and you're passing out gospel tracts, and you're doing street witnessing and litnessing. Litnessing means like passing out tracts. Litnessing. That is the key, because eventually we won't have the internet. Right now I've kind of overly heavily focused on the internet. I mean, I've uploaded another podcast today of my own, and probably like 12 podcasts of other people. I uploaded 2 TikTok long videos, which are basically clips of my podcast video. A bunch of Instagram posts, a bunch of Telegram, some truth socials, you know, little ghettos of the internet, little things. Getter, speaking of ghettos. I mean, God bless these people. They're creating a platform for other people to hang out and share. Sometimes there's millions of people on their platforms, but they're still ghettos, because what they don't understand is that social media is nothing but a ghetto. I mean, you could be Elon Musk and have Twitter, and it's big, it's whatever. It's the media glamorizes it. Oh, we can't let them buy Twitter. Oh, Twitter's so important. And I guess it kind of is. For now. But the big scheme of things, people aren't going to read your tweets from 50 years ago. They just aren't. Unless you took those tweets and you raised them $50 million of faith bucks and you published a book of your tweets. Ooh, imagine that. Well, my tweets are just, I was sitting on the toilet, I was pooping, and I kind of ate too much spicy food and I had more time, so I posted a tweet. Well, what if you just copy-pasted your dang tweets and you wrote a book about your tweets and you included your tweets? Then boom, you've got a book. People will read your stupid tweets 50 years from now if there are still books and there is still a planet and whatever. We are going into the millennial reign of Christ. Do you think that all books will be abolished? Do you think Jesus is a communist? You can't read the books. No, God loves freedom. He loves knowledge. He loves wisdom. There may be actual faculties of wisdom and discernment rather than faculties and colleges of garbage and gender. I went to university in 2002. Yeah, 2002. And then I stopped going to college. Well, I was raised on a college campus. Okay, my dad got his professor job in 1992. I used to have a University of Miami ID card at age 10. And I would walk around and use the internet when it was brand new. I would step into the giant computer rooms and show my internet ID or whatever, my ID. Michael Basham, UM, you know, the orange and white logo and green, with my backpack, with my little homeschool books, and supposedly I was going with Dad to the campus to do homeschool, and he was teaching violin lessons, and I was just walking around that big old lake. Look it up, University of Miami, you know, Glen Basham. And that lake was so fun, because there were all these little weird crabs, you could catch them, and it was so fun, just walking around that lake over and over again. But I had a computer lab ID,
at the very start of the internet, when the internet was released into the public with AOL and all that garbage and Netscape, Angel Fire. And I would just look up random websites, and I would look up like my favorite video game for Super Nintendo, or is there ever going to be a Jurassic Park sequel? That was like my everyday thing. I was like, who knows about Jurassic Park coming out? And then when I was old enough and I became a college student, and of course all my textbooks were about liberal garbage, like what is diversity? Like, what is this weird? They're like plummeting down our throats, this diversity thing. And why are all these, there's all these new majors for gender studies. Like, what's this? This was 20 years ago. I'm 39. So yeah, I was like 19 going into university, and there's like gender studies. Like, what? But they were already planting the seeds, guys. Like, this thing that we're facing now was planted a long time ago. How do you get a career with gender study? Well, it's communism, but whatever. But going into those places, I mean, it so heightened my sense of self-worth, self-confidence, whatever, that I could just walk around. And I mean, I was like really short, and there's all these like beautiful and amazing and cool guys and girls, like, and I'm just this little homeschooling kid, 10 years old, the scrawny little kid just walking around University of Miami. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm just going to use the internet. You know, I'm just checking my websites. When I became an actual student in 2002, 2003, I do recall actually finding like an Alex Jones website. It was like one of the earliest websites. Amazing. 2002, 2003. And then fast forward to 2004, 2005, I'm in the family. I dropped out of the University of Miami. I spent a year in Japan. My life is kind of like a big ping pong ball of, dear Lord Jesus, send me wherever you want. Jesus, okay. And then boom, you're in Japan. Boom, you're in Sophia University. Boom, you're in back in University of Miami. Boom, you're dropping out. Boom, you're working at restaurants, low-class jobs. You're sitting by the street, begging for money, passing out tracts, getting souls. Boom, you're going to China. Boom, you're in Orlando. Boom, you're back in America. Boom, you're, boom, Japan, boom, Taiwan, boom, Thailand, boom, Nepal, boom, India, boom, Hawaii, boom, North Carolina. And each of those, I could go on for hours about the things that God did. And eventually I'll get around to a book. It's going to be way less eloquent than Face Up with a Miracle, but it will sound a little bit like that because I am his grandson. I am the only son of my father, his only son, who ever met Don Basham, and I'm the oldest of the Basham tribe here. So, you know, there's a little bit of weight to that, but it's more like I sit back, I make popcorn, I kind of flub it most of the time, but I'm riding some kind of a weird current. And I speak to you daily because I hope that you will appreciate that and you will reach out and take a little cup of that and insert it into your own life and see what happens. You know, I'm talking to sinners. I'm talking to people that feel like they're losers. They're incompetent. Their family isn't the best, whatever. I'm talking to you, star person of God, eternal being. My life is a testimony. It's a testament, and I am not building a cult. I've been through enough of those. But if you would begin to look into your deepest self and your relationship with God, and oh my gosh, we got 3% battery, you will notice that God has something for you. And you will also realize that when you hear about this vaccine providing a third strand of DNA, not joking, kind of rumors, but kind of freaky. And when you realize it is the Luciferian strain, and you're not damned if you took it, but God is introducing us through the blood of Jesus. That is our vaccine. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from sin. None of us can do that. The blood of Jesus literally cleanses us from sin. Okay, I'm going to take a risk here. 3 minutes of battery. Still going to take a little break here. I'll be right back. I love this song. I can't stop playing it. The Wave. Hallelujah. Kind of sounds like a Dolly Parton song. Bless you guys. I'll be right back. Hallelujah. The ball is rolling. We are facing a very certain future, actually. I don't know why people are so freaked out. Oh my gosh, Russia did this. Oh my gosh, food shutdown, lockdowns. Bill Gates this, Fauci that, Trump this, Elon that. Pretty soon your whole day has gone by. Are you going to allow that to happen? Do you want to be a part of the end time army for God? It still exists. You're hearing the shadow, just the echo of the Clone Wars. I'm an Obi-Wan. I live in a cave, you know. I mean, I've been a part of some epic battles. I'm related to some of the eclectic warriors. And I'm here because I want to share that with you. Not that I'm the one. I'm not the one. I'm telling you that God has put me in this position where I don't really know what to do. I'm just running around doing what I can. But it's all for a future war. I always knew that was the case since I was a kid. Since I was a little kid, I knew everything was leading up to this big final, like, future of Nazis. Like, we've got to build, like, little secret hiding places in our backyard. We got to know how to make, like, traps for soldiers that are coming after our family so that we can run and hide and that they fall. In Florida, you can dig a hole really easy. And so one of my favorite things to do, and I would get in trouble for this, was to, like, I don't know why I'm, like, going so nostalgic today, but dig a hole, cover the opening with sticks, and then cover those sticks with mango leaves, really thick, hardy leaves. They're not going to, like, waste away in a few days. They're going to stay there. And then cover those leaves with sand. And boom, like, somebody's running after you and they think they got you. And it's like this pathway with sand and you're just running. boom, you're going to fall like 2 feet and you're going to break your leg or twist your ankle. My mom would find out about these and she would like tell me never to do them again. I was literally doing this at a church that we would stay at in Naples, Florida, where my grandfather used to preach Covenant something or other in Naples, Florida. We used to stay there. Because my dad had a job at the Naples Philharmonic, he went from the University of Miami when I was 8, 9, 10 years old to you got a job as the concert master of this new Philharmonic that they got funding for via Myra Daniels, who was this short, powerful Jewish lady. She just passed away last year or within the last 3 months, I think. And she started this orchestra, this Philharmonic in very rich Naples from scratch, like a few years before that, like early 90s. And my dad ended up being the concertmaster. And man, that thing has grown and grown and grown. Artiste Naples. And finally, they had the vaccine mandate. And finally, my dad graduated. He retired a little bit early. You can hear him play the blues and the jazz. I mean, I just uploaded the Thanksgiving Basham hangout. Just a little glimpse. I mean, I'm bumbling on this old nice, but I don't practice bass guitar. But man, this is where we're coming from, man. Like, my dad, a hero, not going along. Going back to the overall point here, guys, it's like, are you willing to drop out of the system? I have been away from my beautiful, beautiful, wonderful, perfect family, which is not that perfect, but pretty darn good. At least it's a family. At least we had Thanksgiving dinner and nobody was like, you voted for Trump. You took the vaccine. You didn't want the vaccine. Like, nobody. I mean, we're all against it. And it's going to get worse. And family is going to become those who do the will of God. That is family. When I was a teenager, when I was like in college, I realized my life wasn't going to be about materialism. Oh, I'm going to graduate. I mean, college is a scam anyway. So whatever. Make use of it. If you have the opportunity, go to university. Wow, great. Like, I dropped out of University of Miami to be a missionary, to like pound the streets, to do menial labor, to scrub toilets, to teach whiny Chinese, Taiwanese, Asian kids English. All these demeaning jobs. But then always going home, usually, to some kind of mission-based outpost. And eventually that dried up. And as the song said, like, we preached across the world. And then there no longer could we go anywhere. And we were kicked out of this and that place. You know, Taiwan, China, Japan, Thailand, India, Nepal. And then finally, you go back to your own country. And then you're getting stuck in like the matrix. And then finally, God takes you out. He brings you into his heavenly realms. And I believe that the bride of Christ will have a place prepared for her in the wilderness. So what you really want to do is be intimately acquainted with Christ, Jesus. And then he will take you to that place for 3.5 years to be prepared to meet Jesus Christ himself. The rest of the Christians that don't really know God, a lot of people are going to get their heads chopped off and it's going to be terrible. It's a nightmare. But there is a place, a dove hidden in the cleft of the mountain, in the cliffs, where she has a place prepared for her. So spiritually, you want to be identified, speaking transgender pronoun lingo, as the bride of Christ. Whatever that looks like, I don't know, but God has some kind of a provision for that level of Christian. And there will be Christians that will be destined to the gulags, to the chopping block, and they will receive their reward. If you can make it to the chopping block and get through that and not deny Christ because they loved not their lives unto the death. Very, very important. Don't have the pride of life. Don't be worshiping your physical life. God has something more for you if you're willing to go through that. But
you know, the Bride of Christ got to learn how to put on makeup and, you know, do the chores of heaven and whatever, you know, bride training for Jesus. And I'm talking spiritually, figuratively, but like literally the New Jerusalem is coming down and not everybody is going to be living in the boondocks of the New Jerusalem. But the last I heard, the New Jerusalem is a pyramid, huge, and a pyramid has a very small apex and a very large base. And that base includes the fence, the border wall, thousands of miles wide, that includes the names of the disciples and the name and the gates of the disciples and the foundations of the 12 tribes of Israel. I think it's actually the gates are the Israel tribes and the walls are the 12 disciples. And why is that? Well, that's the base. But when you go up and up and up, and I've heard, and in my own visions, I've seen four levels, four primary levels to the city. And as you go up and up and up, Jesus has his own apex, beautifully well-maintained area of his grandeur. And below that, you have something more like a kind of just freedom to do what you want within the freedom of the New Jerusalem. I mean, there's a lot of land. We're talking like there is the, just dimensionally wise, even on the base wise, there is enough land to cover China or America, pretty much, or most of Europe. Going up, you've got multiple levels of that. So you basically have like all the United States of America, plus perhaps like Australia over that, and then maybe like Ukraine, and then above that, whatever, you know, smaller land. But what portion of the New Jerusalem would you like to have or live in? I see all of it as precious. I see it as an interdimensional city. Things that we can't conceive of today will be taking place there. Anyway, I'm going to turn this off. I'm getting weird. You know, I mean, I just, you know, somebody is going to be like, this guy's crazy, because I'm talking to you about things that are not of this world. And I, as I speak to you of these things, I see them because I've been spending my entire life pursuing these things. This is the thing that my life is all about. Not, I'm going to be a bank manager someday, or someday I'm going to be just like, I'm going to buy land. I'm going to build a McDonald's on it. I'm going to put more McDonald's on more land. I'm going to be so rich. And everybody's going to be eating crap. And you're going to be like learning about LGBT stuff while you eat it. Disney is poop. All these companies are poop. Everything is poop now. The world is poop. Big poop. Or as Sienna would say, my daughter, a big, big, big doo-doo. And that's what the world has become. So it's a lot easier to join the Spirit Force and to become a part of the revolution for Jesus, which will take you to the New Jerusalem. Unless it gets hijacked by the CIA like the last time. But I think we cleared out with the fire of God and you know, the squadrons of God. I think we pretty much took care of that. So the revolution for Jesus is back. It might be led by just a couple people, just like it always was. And we might have a change of authority. We might change the whole chain of command. If you understand the world and the mess that we are in, and you have the fight and the intellect and the understanding to leave big tech platforms like you barf and face fierce boogers and Twitter, and these are not your home, okay? If your home, when you log on to the internet, it's YouTube, it's Twitter, it's, you are in dangerous territory. You are going to lose your content eventually. And I don't know where to tell you is safe. I mean, we're backing stuff up. Spreaker is great, but
God knows what's going to happen to them. I saw a gay pride flag on Spreaker the other time I was on there. So we are backing stuff up. Fringe Radio Network is people, not Spreaker. Fringe Radio Network. So if you have quality content, if you are a verbose, eclectic podcaster, and you feel like you want to do this seriously, like put some quality into it, put some audio quality, like have a nice microphone, and don't just like leave the mic like stranded while you go to the bathroom. Hey guys, I'm going to the bathroom live stream. If you want to be a podcaster, we are looking for podcasters on the Fringe Radio Network, but it has to be professional. So hallelujah. I love you. Bless you. Thank you for listening. Sorry, rambly. But gosh, the vision of heaven, pretty good. Not too bad. I see it. I see the New Jerusalem. I see the apex with the place where Jesus sits on throne and he has his castle and he's got... I see like parking garages under it with like all the coolest, nicest vehicles of interstellar travel underneath the castle. I see things... And I think so, either it will be very cool when we go to heaven and we see what Jesus has prepared for us. He is not angry at you. You are covered in his blood. He loves you. He loves you so much. Receive his love right now. Stay in the love of God. Receive the love of God into your heart. Ask for him to come into your heart if you haven't already. He will come and he will make his abode with you. Okay? I knew all about the Bible, but when I asked Jesus in my heart and I opened the door to my heart, it was next level. And then he led me outside. So I'm telling you, you can go other places. It's pretty cool. His angels will carry out all the house cleaning that you need in your spirit, man, in your soul. You can go and go on trips, vacations with Jesus. You don't have to be stressed out about your life. Worried about things can take you elsewhere, even while you're alive on the planet. He will give you unbelievable amounts of spiritual strength to handle anything because he's God. He's the Son of God. He can do anything. Get out there and witness, win souls, but most of all, love God, and your life will become very simple no matter what else you're doing. He will send people across your path. Hungry people, you will receive opportunities to spread seeds. All righty, guys. I love y'all. I gotta go. It's hard to leave. I love you so much. Let's finish this song, The Wave. Hallelujah. Okay, bye-bye. Faithbucks.com. Thank you for supporting us. Spearforce01@gmail.com for PayPal. And we have a Patreon. Bless you so much.
sails on timeless shores, never ending wars. Living's just a chore for those who ask what for. Come out from the whore, piece of superior. Check out what's in store. These keys are yours. Giving them to you, giving them to you. My love will restore the sad heart that tore. Your love I adore, and just as I swore, mantle that I wore in the days of yore. Keys are yours, yours. Giving them to you, giving them to you, giving these keys to you, and all you've got to do is take my hand. I lead you to the promised land. Take my hand, let's go to the promised land. So please don't. I do implore, 'cause I know the score, and all you're longing for, new worlds to explore. Together we can soar. Heaven's corridors, these keys are yours.